Hello, everybody, and welcome to the NASDAQ Dorsey Wright podcast for the week of November 8th. I'm Jay Greg Danny here. Joining me this week is Ian Saunders. And a lot going on, a lot to discuss, lots happening over the course of the past couple of weeks. And, you know, not the, the least of which being the impact that many of us have felt around the world with daylight saving time coming to an end this past weekend. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the extra hour back in their day. But last week, there were a couple things that we wanted to discuss. Number one is the market entered and has officially entered in to the seasonally strong period in the markets, which we touched on that in the podcast last week, that just the idea that the periods from November through the end of April tend to be historically a very strong period for the month over that 6 month stretch. And so we'll touch a little bit about that in a minute. And then also a big infrastructure bill that has passed Congress, moving its way through for signatures and looking like that is going to push forward. And so with that said, you know, as we enter the month of November, we're coming off an October that saw a rather volatile September. October, we came into the month and we ended the month on a relatively positive note as we headed into November, to the extent that the S&P 500, as we're recording this on Monday, is currently working on the 16th out of the past 18th positive session in trading in the market. Again, the past 18 days, including Monday, we've seen 16 out of the past 18 days being positive. And that is something that, while not unprecedented, certainly not something that we see every day. You have to go back into 1990 since we saw this occur over an 18-day stretch in a similar capacity to seeing those gains. Prior to that, you have to go back to 1971 and then 1970 after that. So it doesn't happen a lot. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but it is certainly something that does tend to happen and historically happens in generally stronger equity markets, and that's certainly what we've seen today. But it hasn't been relegated, Ian, to just, you know, one specific index. We talk about the S&P 500. Obviously, you know, that is one index out there, but really we've seen a lot of broad strength continue as we move into November and move closer towards the end of 2021. We've seen a number of positive developments too, as it relates to a number of other equity indexes out there.
Absolutely. I mean, the strength of the S&P 500, obviously that big broad market benchmark that most people generally tend to follow. But the NASDAQ 100, another one that's continued to be marked consecutive new all-time highs. Actually, it's with market movement as of this recording on Monday, the 8th, where the NASDAQ 100 is working on its 11th consecutive positive day. So been over 2 weeks of market days that have seen some kind of gain in the NASDAQ 100. Now, some of those gains were more significant. I believe about three or four of those were 1% plus days. Market movement this Monday, trading just about 4 basis points higher. So see if it closes up, but at least through market data on Friday, at that point, we had 10 consecutive positive days for the NASDAQ 100, which we actually don't see occur all that often. This is only the 15th time that we got 10 consecutive days. If we close positive today, will be the 12th time that we've seen at least 11 consecutive positive days going back to 1985. While some of those days did some of those points did occur, did see some more muted or some negative returns over the next week or month or 3 months, generally returns for most of those days do tend to be positive. It continues to increase the further out the time horizon you go. So over the next month, after those long stretches of positive days, looking at about 1.5% gain for the NASDAQ 100 on top of that. Move out to 3 months, a little over 3%. Move out to 6 months, a little over 6%. So out of those 20 or so times that we've seen that occur with consecutive gains of at least 9 days of consecutive gains, generally more muted returns over the next month or so, but those returns do seem to even on out from a broader perspective as you move a little bit further out that time horizon there, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know, you're even seeing some of that today where the NASDAQ 100 up slightly relative and underperforming a bit the S&P and the Dow and other major equity indexes today. And really, you know, all of that activity that we just experienced and saw, what, you know, the new highs in the NASDAQ, the new highs in the S&P 500, the consistency at which we've seen the market push to those new highs, they've all come, you know, basically in the teeth of Q3 earnings season and now the vast majority of that is behind us. And one of the bigger news items that is coming out that is seemingly moving the markets today is that of the infrastructure bill. And so while the NASDAQ 100 and even the S&P 500, you know, technology is the biggest sector within there, there's a lot of action, a lot of activity happening underneath the surface of some of that within some of the infrastructure spaces. And, you know, the bill, the $1.2 trillion, there's a lot of that certainly earmarked for broad infrastructure spending, everything from railroad improvements, everything from electric vehicle charging stations. And you look at up and down the spectrum, there's just very broadband. And so you go up and down the spectrum, and there's a lot of areas that could potentially, at least on the surface, could potentially be impacted in a relatively positive way. And so you're starting to see some of that within the market. One of the bigger names out there that was kind of at the forefront of some of the news this morning being Caterpillar. Caterpillar was up big on the idea that they set ready to benefit from a lot of this spending that's coming down as infrastructure is being built out. The companies are going to need equipment to do that. Obviously, Caterpillar is certainly right there in the mix of that. And Caterpillar, if you just look at it from a point and figure chart, a look at the trend of Caterpillar remains in an overall positive trend as a member of the Dow. And what we've seen really is a generally consistent series of higher tops and higher bottoms. You saw this stock pull back over the course of the past couple of months as a lot of technology names regained that leadership position. But from about June through about mid-October, shares of Caterpillar pulled back, came right down to its bullish support line, its positive trend line, has since rallied, now given a couple consecutive buy signals off the bottom. So, you know, from a trending perspective, Caterpillar right now continues to be in an overall positive trend. But, you know, again, that's just one of the bigger names out there. There's lots of other areas that are seeing benefits from that, Ian. And really, there's actually some ways to gain exposure to infrastructure in general just through a number of different ETFs.
Absolutely. And for those that do subscribe to the research and are familiar with the Asset Class Group Scores page, we actually have a group. One of the groups out of the 135 different groups we classify funds into is infrastructure. So we put all the infrastructure funds globally into this group, average their fund scores together, 0 to 6, 0 being the worst, 6 being the best. And infrastructure comes in a score of kind of the middle of the road at a recent score posting of 3.33 as of market movement on Friday. We saw that score back improve a little bit with the infrastructure plan came out in August, backed off a little bit towards the 3.0 score line, and now it's shown some more improvement. Looking underneath the hood at some of those representatives though within the group, we see that a lot of that score, that underperformance, right, those weaker scores are the global infrastructure funds that are included in the group, whereas perhaps unsurprisingly, given some of the movement around the infrastructure space, the expectation of this bill going through, a lot of the U.S. related funds have certainly seen some more notable improvement. Specifically, looking at the iShares U.S. Infrastructure ETF, ticker IFRA, that fund has a suitable 3.66 fund score. We saw it actually break out to a new all-time high, broke a quadruple top as of market movement on Friday, up to chart level of 37.50. So, seeing that kind of significant, that quad top, it's not all that often you see a quadruple top breakout, right? Seeing that is certainly pretty significant there, breaking through a resistance point that had been in place since May of this year. There are also some other kind of more focused areas that are seemingly could benefit from this infrastructure bill. Looking at the one area being clean energy and specifically kind of grid energy charging stations. So an ETF representative you can look for that would be the First Trust NASDAQ Clean Edge Smart Grid Infrastructure Index Fund. Fund also hit a new all-time high last week up at a chart level of 104, showing a little bit of gain this morning. Both of these areas are kind of moving toward overbought territory. So certainly an area to keep an eye out there for, see if we can maybe a potential area to kind of ease in if you're looking to move in there. But again, on a buy signal, strong 4.88 fund score, and certainly seeing that kind of further improvement over the past week or so with this bill going through there, Jay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, everything from it seemingly is being covered from your electric vehicle charging stations to broadband stuff, but really also to some of your traditional industrial type of areas, you know, things like railroads, things like automotive areas. You look at something like a transportation ETF, FTXR, which is, again, a first trust transportation ETF. So it's going to own companies that are not only in the broader industrial transportation sector, like some of your railroads, but also own some automakers and some parts suppliers within there. FTXR is one that, again, has moved just recently, hit a new high after pulling back, after consolidating a bit earlier this year, has a strong fund score as well. So, you know, a number of different ways to play this infrastructure. One of the things that we'll always look to do is while there might be an investment theme or general thought that the general spending is going to find its way into the market, we want to consult the charts and make sure that the market is agreeing with that sentiment. And, you know, one of the things too that is interesting to look at, Ian, you mentioned IFRA is just a general infrastructure ETF. There's a number of broader ones out there. Another one is PAVE, PAVE, which is a Global X infrastructure development ETF. And that one, they both have, you know, pretty similar looking chart patterns, but they approach the industrial or the infrastructure space a little bit differently, where IFRA is going to be heavily weighted towards utilities companies. And with some energy in there, you look at something like PAVE, it's going to be more heavily weighted from a sector breakdown perspective towards the traditional industrial subsector. So just something to keep in mind and look out for. Again, like IFRA, PAVE, PAVE is a strong fund with a score of 5.7. Overall trend is positive there, but just something to look at as you're considering ways to take advantage and gain exposure to a number of these different infrastructure places. There's ways to do it through individual stocks, certainly targeted themes within there, whether it be electric vehicle charging, whether it be, you know, grid, something along those lines, or broader infrastructure, different ways to approach it from there. But certainly lots to look out for, and we'll know more in the coming days and coming weeks and coming months, seemingly as some of this money gets put into movement, to see where some of that traction is headed. But Ian, with that said, appreciate you joining us this week. Thank you all for taking time to join us for this podcast. If there's anything we can do to help you in your business, please don't hesitate to reach out, and look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.